play your music.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Jill, go ahead and play that, please.
All righty. I'm just turning up the volume.
It's very low, Richard.
It is low, and I can't do anything about it here. Hold that thought for a moment. We can hear it, but it's a little low. Hold that thought for a moment, if you would, Jill. If you'd cue something else up, I'll do the intro right now.
Okay.
You can leave that playing low in the background, actually, because low enough that I can talk about it. Thank you. So, greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Sherry Edwards and Richard Olson, brought to you this week by soundhealthoptions.com. This is the show for June 19th, 2011. And what you hear in the background is some of the music by Jill Mattson, who's going to be our guest today, talking about her newest book, Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing. And what you hear is some of Jill's music softly in the background, and I think we'll be playing other cuts of hers probably throughout the show. And good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
And I'll say good morning to Jill as long as she's DJing over there as well.
People are chatting. People are chatting me that they can hear you and Jill in the background. And these are people on WebEx that we're chatting with. Well, that's good because they get to hear all the backstage kind of things that happen before the show. And if they want to join us to watch the show, they can go to soundhealthoptions.com. And there on the front page is a link to Blog Talk Radio with a description of what we're going to talk about today. Just follow that link, and it'll take you right into being able to watch the show. And what we have up now is one of Jill's books, Ancient Sounds, Modern Healing. And we're going to be talking to her also about a new book, Secret Sounds. And then she has a new book. So we'll talk to her a bit about all three of her books. But before we do, Richard and I had an experience yesterday that we wanted to share. And Richard, you were on the receiving end of that. So would you talk about Marion?
Sure. I'll also let people know that over on in Blog Talk Radio in the chat, that I've also put the link in there that if you want to join the WebEx, the live feed, the link is in there and the instructions to follow are there as well. Yesterday, Sherry and I were on a show somewhere, and she had been doing some work with a client on Parkinson's. And one of the other people that was talking to us, one of the actually hosts of the show, Mom had Parkinson's, and Sherry had prearranged, because she was going to talk about Parkinson's, brought in Marion, who you've been working with for how long? Not very long. She didn't have a tone box very long. I was surprised. A week or something? And
4 days.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it's stunning. And just really how moving it was to have, Marion has had some of the conditions she's dealing with now since the late 70s. And Marion was actually telling us a story about the fact that for the first time since a surgery she had, I think removing a salivary gland in her face caused paralysis in her face, and how her grandchildren had never seen her smile because of the paralysis. And after about a week of using the tone box, that she was actually able to move her face, and how incredibly moving it was to have this woman talk about the fact that she was actually having, a positive experience. Not only a positive experience, but actually able to, move her face a little bit and begin to have movement. And I believe also that she had called Sherry possibly in the middle of the night, because they're in different time zones, I think, to tell her that suddenly she could smell popcorn, which was so exciting, because that's one of the first things to go away with Parkinson's patients is their sense of smell. So it was, I mean, it was hugely moving. I mean, it made me grab tissue. I mean, it was really, it was a wonderful event.
One of the things, or one of the spaces in the brain that forces you to develop Parkinson's is the same place that where the sense of smell resides. So for her to be, her sense of smell means that her Parkinson's is receding. She also had some curled under toes that I don't know how a human's toes could do that. Just your toes curl up like your hand in a fist. But they were uncurling so that she could walk better. So it was an incredibly exciting case, and we wanted this to be an upbeat and positive show. So we decided to bring you that good news. She was so excited. She was crying. She's making everybody else cry. But it's hope. It's providing hope because we're being lied to so much about what is going on in our government and radiation. And we traced her chart back to radiation. She had worked in some kind of, government installation where they were using radiation, but they kept telling them, there's no problem. But there really was a problem. She's had cancer twice and Parkinson's. And being able to look at her vocal print and trace it back, our point we were trying to make is that, you know, do you want to be the one of the survivors? Because this is what's going to happen. Chernobyl was one rod. Fukushima is 7 rods. And it's really not going to show up until years later, Marianne's case. So that's why we're trying to bring people into our radiation classes. And then next Sunday, there'll be a class on immune and how radiation attacks the immune system.
Clearly, I think your work, Sherry, is the medicine or the future of tomorrow. I know it's been predicted, and it was kind of exciting to watch it unfold.
Well, that's the way that we were going to introduce your book, Joe. So this is great.
Oh, okay.
How perfect is that?
Richard, do you want to go with that?
Yes, I think that's really, I'll read this brief piece about Jill that Sherry put up about Jill's latest book is Secret Sounds Ultimate Healing. And it's about a relatively unknown pioneer in the field of frequency-based wellness. And this is Jill's third book, all on sound, including ancient sound, modern healings. And I guess I'll just jump right in and ask you, why are you so possessed about sound? And I mean that in a really good way. You have a strong drive about sound. What is it about sound that called you?
Well, I've been a musician since a tiny little girl, and I would say that music moves me in places that I can hardly describe. It takes me in meditative spaces. It heals my emotions. It's kind of, for me personally, a cure-all of almost anything. I express myself, I think, better in music than anything else. And I guess whenever someone has a life purpose and they happen to stumble upon it, it feels really good. And I feel like I'm tuned into the heavens when I write about sound. And when I write about sound, it's always very magical. Like in my book, Ancient Sounds, all the people I interviewed literally came to me and said, some of them even said, you're supposed to interview me, and I didn't even know them. So it's just very magical to me, and that's kind of how it worked with Sherry, is that I don't even hardly know how it happens. We just started talking, and the next thing you know, I spent the next couple of years writing her fascinating discoveries. I was very clear about the impact this could have on humanity. It is so encompassing. It ranges from as we just talked about, aiding Parkinson's, to enabling you to focus on your life path, to find that frequency, to look at your subconscious mind, which is a wonderful tool for health and enlightenment, to use it for relationships, to take it into the realm of music or color therapy or massage therapy. The broad expanse of her work in the vibratory healing is clearly tomorrow's ways. And I was just so passionate about writing it.
And are you by, I guess, profession or, I mean, by nature, you're a musician. And do you do it professionally, or is it something that you do as a for pleasure and for, I don't know, I'd say healing, but that's a whole different thing. I really mean it for pleasure, or for this is what you do as a living?
I would say I've played in concerts since I've been about 7 or 8 years old. I've not done it for
wow.
a living, but I have done concerts on a pretty regular basis my entire life.
You've always been a performer.
Yeah, and a composer.
Mm.
Jill is a violinist. But I didn't meet her that way. I was doing a workshop at a big expo, and she just walked up to me and said, "Here's my book, and you need to have it." And I read it, and like, whoa, where's this lady coming from? And the next thing, I'm taking your class, and I'm writing a book about what you do. And when we put out this announcement, we didn't say this is a book about Sherry. But what Jill did was take my life and what I do and intermix it, and there's never been even an article written like this. And this is a big book. It's out. It came out June 11th. How can people get your books, Jill?
www.jillswingsoflight.com. And I might also add, I think I kind of took your work, Sherry, which, again, is multifaceted, brilliant, and is going to change the way we live. But I approached it from two ways. One was that I did an exhaustive study of physics and science, and I took many of your discoveries and pulled in studies that would verify this process and that process and this process. So in addition to being able to look at your final results and speak to the woman whose Parkinson's is getting better, you can also see that this step and that step and this step has already a solid scientific basis. And then I also approached it from kind of the healing mysticism approach, because I've been studying arcane documents for maybe 20 years, and I love music, so anytime I see anything about music, I write it down. And I have become an expert on the musical and language usage of sound vibrations throughout the ancient mystery schools. And then I kind of dovetailed that with your specific discoveries as well.
When you first met me and walked up to me with your book, Ancient Sounds, did you know what I did?
No, but I did know I knew at that point in time that we'd be writing that book. I just felt it. I don't know.
There's so
it was
much
a knowing
going on in your life. You're a musician. You write music. You're an artist. All of the covers for these books you have done. You have music out for meditation. You seem to have absolutely boundless energy where this writing and getting this stuff out to people is concerned. Do you consider yourself driven?
Well, let's put it this way. I feel a little bit like a cosmic teeter. Like, for example, when I'm composing, sometimes I just hear it, and all I have to do is play down what I hear. And sometimes when I'm writing, I also hear things. I get direction. I get guidance, spiritual inspiration that's very specific. And whenever I'm tapped in, God, I just feel great. It's very almost addictive. And I would consider myself a channel, and that things are given to me, and I'm very honored about that. And I'm also very honored to have been able to get your work out, because your work is so important. You know, it's not just that you have extraordinary hearing, Shari, and has observed sounds of the body and how to fix the sounds, but you are a hard worker and you're very inquisitive, and you, I believe, have uncovered some principles that will change the way our society works, like your theories on brain dominance and frequency canceling and balancing, and many of your frequency formulas that match the way the body operates are breathtaking, useful, and powerful tools that are right there at our fingertips. We just need to learn about them.
Well, I find the idea of flow through music along with education, so you can write it down. I'm so totally ignorant. I hear the music, but I can't write it down. So I'm really thankful to have somebody like you on the planet that can actually match the two together.
It's really wonderful. In your year, you know, in your path of looking at sound and music, have you seen, or do you see, a pattern of a consciousness awakening where people are beginning to grok that sound can be a healing tool? I mean, the ancients had it, and I believe practiced
it. Quite a question, because I'm working on a new book, which I have finished, but it needs refining, so it's not out yet. But what I did was I traced, I started with channelings about Lemuria and Atlantis, and then I went into the first historical stuff we have about 10,000 years before Christ. That's near the end of the first ice age, at the beginning of this race of humans. And I pulled together the music and what I could find on their language. And what I found was absolutely fascinating. This old music, in many ways, was more sophisticated than what we listen today, because you can look at the math behind music, and that's, again, the genius of Shari's work. She's looking at the math of the sounds in our voice. But when you look at the math in the language and the music, you see patterns that relate to sacred geometry. And then I go through Babylonian to Sumerian and ancient Chinese, ancient Hindu, ancient Egyptian, ancient Greek, Middle Ages, classical to present. And I look at these different mathematical patterns, and I believe that they shape our consciousness. They're subtle vibratory patterns that emulate thoughts and feelings. And you can look at the mathematical structure of the music changing between the eons, and I believe that changes consciousness. The conclusion I drew from what I found was that I believe that we're like evolving into matter, because the frequencies, I believe, lead us to greater individuality, greater duality. And without judging that, the more individual you are, the more away or distant you are from God. God being all that is at one time, and an individual just being one. It's a journey. And I believe that the sound and language patterns throughout the ages have enabled us to evolve into matter, to have this wonderful journey, and that we can use these patterns in reverse to very quickly evolve to God, or all that is. And again, another reason why Sherry's work and this book, Ultimate Healing, Secret Sounds Ultimate Healings, is so important is that it is the next two or three steps back. Sherry's uncovering the techniques to use sound and vibration to, again, change your voice. But with changing your voice, you change your health and your emotions and your thinking. And wow, isn't that powerful?
We're looking at some of your albums online. You've done all the artwork to these, haven't you?
Yes, I'd love to do that.
Well, that just,
and again, art is nothing but an octave of music.
Wow. Can you play some of your music for us, Jill? I'm one that says Cinemas Presence or any that you choose.
Well, I got one right now. Here, let me.
We've lost Jill, are you there? Hello?
I think she put the headset down to the phone.
It sounds like Jill's music through the phone. It's not full and rich like it is when you are listening to it in a room.
There. There's a piece.
Thank you. Sherry was talking about that it doesn't give the music the full justice because it's just barely, you know. But I get the essence of what it is, and it's really, it's really breathtaking.
I don't know if you can hear this better, but can you hear how much fuller this is? I'm playing it through the computer.
a little bit. I think people need to order the CD. I really get that.
Each CD has like a different benefit, a different blessing. My idea with my music is that I'm going back to these ancient techniques when people were closer to God, and I'm picking up their use of harmonics, intervals, rhythms, in different vibrational techniques that awaken chakras and different types of senses, and just doing them in reverse. And then I put music on top, again, using often those techniques.
You
like one of the healing flower symphonies.
That you play other...
I use the... Excuse me?
You're trying to...
Anyway, one of
limit.
The healing... set of the healing flower symphonies that... takes the work of Edmund Bach, who says that a flower is a positive vibratory energy, like a rose feels beautiful, yet a daisy is cheerful. And then he sells the essences of those flowers, which again are a frequency, which is again the key and incorporated into the music. But also, you know, just using your imagination and being very creative, I also add like the musical emotion equated with a flower. Let me think of an example. One is agrimony flower, which is to take someone from being pretend niceness, like being polite or nice to someone you don't care to, and turning that into a genuine sincerity. And what I did was I put a very pretty melody, but I used a few synthesizers in it, and I bent them out of tune in the last fractions of seconds. So you have the pretend harmony, and then I just pull it right into complete harmony. And as embarrassing as it was, unfortunately, that flower was something that I struggle with because I have like a pleaser personality. And although I'm not conscious of it, I'm apparently very polite at times. And it enabled me to recognize when I'm being polite and not fully sincere, and to pull that up into sincerity. And it's kind of nice because all you have to do is listen to the music.
Wow. And now what album is that? I mean, the one that you're talking about with the Bach flowers, or is that something you incorporate into your music sort of across the board?
I have two CDs, the Bach Healing Flowers, volumes 1 and 2, and they include 12 flowers, so there's 12 emotional healings. And if you
How
look
powerful.
At the work of the ancient Greeks, that's what they were doing. They were very much interested in catharsis and building of virtue, and that's precisely what those CDs do.
Wow.
And, you know, it's really kind of a novel idea because you would think you'd have to struggle to build a virtue, but you can listen to build a virtue as well.
Right.
You can also build a virtue by modifying your speaking voice. And in essence, that's what Sherry does. She takes your voice prints, she sees the disharmony, she gives you a tone box and sounds. And internally, on not a conscious level, you start to harmonize yourself. And your voice, as she is, demonstrates, is a composite of all the little frequencies of, you know, everything in your body and your brain waves and your feelings. It's all right there in your voice. So when you heal, your voice becomes altered. And many of the ancient masters throughout the thousands and thousands of years, they all say you can tell a beautiful person or a successful person or a master from their voice. You don't even need to listen to the content of their words.
Wow.
We
have to take just a very short break, but I want to ask you a question about the Egyptians when we come right back.
Okay.
Would you like to have a computerized vocal profile of your own voice for free? Would you like to know, bioacoustically speaking, what nutrients you really need, what vitamins your body is really using? Are you in training or on a team? You can help prevent injuries by knowing what muscles are too weak or too stressed. Join us for Happy Hour, and you may be one of the lucky three who will have their voice profiled live online. Contact us at soundhealthoptions.com to receive your link. You can also invite your friends.
I'd like to mention that we have a happy hour coming up, or Sherry has a happy hour coming up on Tuesday afternoon, and you can get more information about that at Sound Health Options. Can you talk about, I'm slightly dumbfounded at what, because you talk about these things so casually, the matrix and the concept and the, it makes me cover my eyes and be stunned. Talk about the Egyptians. I'm really interested in, well, I'm interested in it all, and I've done a lot of work with somebody who's done a great deal of research in what, in his world, they would call shape-form, which has to do with the energy that comes off of a shape, which I think really has to do with your work and Sherry's work of how the what you would do is you would play a sound, or Sherry would do a tone, and it would impact that, let's say, carving or shape, and the bioacoustic resonance that comes off of that shape form is an altered energy. And I bet you, and I bet you've done work where you've been in a sacred room or a sacred space and played a tone, and the energy that comes back to you off of that room is different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I actually thought of three really good points. Okay, so the first one I'm going to make is just kind of like an introductory thing on Egyptian music, and then I'm going to more specifically answer or respond to your comments. The Egyptian music used quarter tones and a lot of rhythm patterns and free, and they were able to, I believe, ensure the longevity of their great civilization for a 3,000-year period by controlling, regulating, and governing their music. If you look at the Egyptian art, the fine art from the early periods, and then if you look at the exact same country 3,000 years later, the art's the same. In art and music, they were controlling their music because they were controlling the thoughts and the feelings of their people. They had a good thing going, and they were going to keep it. They kept the vibrational matrix, and prior to their civilization going down, their music fell first. That's the first point. Then the second point is one of the famous things about the Egyptians was their use of hermetic magic, which is relying in part on spoken words, you know, like the child's play, abracadabra, you know, that kind of stuff. But they made it a science, and it should be a science. For example, if you were to, I'm going to go back even further. Their language, which is now extinct, is among what we'd call the ancient languages of light. What that means is that the words have more power than our words today. And I believe, and there is also evidence that, like if they would form their words by saying them, let's say saying them underneath the drum, having a little sand on the drum, and watching what shape is formed from the sound. So like many of their words, it's not that this sound represents thing, like in a symbolic way, but the sound is the same as what it's saying. So in other words, if you want a word like fast, if you were to reverse the letters, you would get the word slow, because they're talking about their words being very powerful vibratory tools. And they were, how to put it, like if you could think of the syllables as ingredients, they would combine these different sounds for their subtle energy impact. And here's another little example. For example, the doctors had many ways of healing, but one way was to transfer the vibrational energy of a shape. Again, it's all the same thing. It's frequency. So if somebody's working on a pyramid and the block hits them on their head, they probably had a lot of skull injuries, and they would take an ostrich egg, which is basically the shape of a skull, and they would keep that near the skull to have the shape or the sound created by the ostrich egg influence the skull for healing purposes. And I know it sounds kind of magic, but even if you read in the Old Testament where Moses comes, and of course Moses is our hero, and he always wins their magical contests, but if you read that section in the Old Testament, you'll see that Moses does wonderful magical spells, but so do the Egyptians. And one of the things they're doing is that they're doing their magic with sounds. I don't know, does that kind of answer some of your questions?
It makes my head swim and answers some of my questions. It's amazing. No, it's good. To make my head swim is always a good thing. And I think that that definitely leads me into a question about in the newest book, in Secret Sounds, are there secrets about Sherry in the book? I can't help myself but ask. I never get to ask that question. Are there secrets about Sherry?
I think there's all kinds of secrets about Sherry.
And what are some of your favorites?
I like the stuff about sound, because that's my passion. Passion. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I think, a really wonderful story about how she began in her life history. And her there's a photo there of a corn crib where she grew up in as a little girl. And I think when you look at her story and you see how this incredible science has been uncovered by her, it's so much more understandable and plausible by being able to see her story as well. Like, for example, Shari as a young child would be able to hear if somebody had diabetes or not, because she could has special hearing and could hear these little sounds called otoacoustic emissions. And at that point in time, they weren't verified by science. They are now. But they weren't then, and, you know, you would be made fun of for that, you know. And you can just see how life, its goods and its bads, maybe work together as a team with her to bring forth her knowledge that can benefit us all tremendously.
And did you, and across, not just in this book, but in all of your, I mean, obviously sound is I need a bigger word than passion, but, you know, sound is your passion. Do you know of, have you run across other people who are doing work not exactly like this, but are there other people out there who do things or have Sherry's characteristics, who have that Oto characteristic?
My first book, Ancient Sounds, Modern Healing, is an overview of different sound healing masters that look at it not from the approach that Shari's is quite unique, but each one of them has a different approach. Like one is into the ancient art of musical astrology, and the next one is into harmonics, and you know, each one has a gift.
I'm trying to turn the music off. I don't know how. I'm sorry. I went back to your music and somehow turned it on. So just keep talking.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, yes, there are others who do it. But I wrote a whole book on Sherry's work because it deserves it.
Well, I think from my view, I've been in the health field for a long time as a practitioner, and I think in the more than 20 years that I've watched Sherry's work, I think one of the powers of it is the evolution of it to now where other people are able to do it, I'll say easily, that's sort of in quotes. It is actually pretty darn easy using the software now that people can actually use a microphone and record their voice and run it through a program and get a vocal print and get really a huge amount of information. I think that's one of the really huge things that Sherry has done, is made it so other people can actually do this on a repetitive basis, meaning it's a repeatable tool. Whereas having studied with some healers myself, from Rosalind Bruyer on out to Qigong masters, that I've met some amazing healers or people who have an amazing skill set, but it's not necessarily replicatable.
And also, I believe that Sherry has some very great discoveries, and they don't quite always get that much attention, but her insights on the brain's usage and development of frequencies in the various hemispheres and balancing frequencies, like it's almost like she comes up with vibrational laws that I believe will be verified. And that's part of the reason why it is replicable, because she has this insatiable curiosity and dogged persistence. When she hears something or notes a coincidence, she says, why? And then she just keeps at it. And some of the maybe building blocks that enabled her to create that software, I think, are, again, foundations that you can use in so many other different disciplines. And that's why this book, I think, has such a broad appeal. Someone in are using color or frequencies or stones or alternate healing, or in a doctor's office, or just a musician, or an astrologer, a scientist. And I think part of that's because Sherry has uncovered how frequency works within the body.
Is there a relationship of the modern bioacoustics with some of the ancient things that you've studied? Because in all of your books, I have seen you pull the ancient stuff up into its modern correlate.
There's a tremendous amount of corollaries. One of the things that you and I went through in your book is the sounds of sacred geometry and how shapes translate into sounds. And that you can see the symbols recorded from 10,000 years before Christ. And so you have, that's part of the vibratory matrix. And it's more than that. The ancient Chinese used their sound for balance. I believed they were not as involved into matter. They were a little bit more spiritual than our civilizations today. And they did that by balancing with the stars and with nature, balancing these little subtle energies that we're just beginning to discover and become aware of today. And Sherry's work works very well with that, with the ancient Chinese stuff, and I think helps to explain why the ancient Chinese stuff worked. With Sherry's nano voice, she equates motions and pitches and astrological signs, and she not only equates them, but shows you how to balance them, or what you're going to be attracted to, or what you could play to ease certain emotional problems. And again, that's another ancient technique explained.
Are there ancient sites that are sacred sound places?
I would say most ancient sites are sacred sound places, and that the further you go back in time, the more powerful music and sound was believed to be. In one kind of isolated case, in the south of France, they found some caves, and they were very excited because these caves would have been something ridiculous, like 30,000 years before Christ. And we're talking way back. Anyway, they have like blobs of paint at certain areas in the cave, And those blobs of paint, they've now been able to scientifically show, are where each harmonic of a tone resonates the best. So we're making their caves as sound resonator chambers, and these are people that we're considering primitive. When you get into even before the height of the Egyptian civilization, their mastabas, which would have been their early pyramids or temples for the dead, they're all based on the Fibonacci ratios and golden means. They're emulating the patterns found in nature and the stars and the solar systems, and this would be about 4,000 years before Christ. In some of their temples, they go through and they will take the dimensions of the building and modulate it to each of your chakras. So you can start in one end and tune your root chakra, and as you walk the length of the pyramid, you know, you just tune right up and down the chakras. And, they were doing all kinds of stuff with sound.
Jill, in your new book, The Sounds of Civilization, which I want you to talk about, I have an idea. How about organizing a group of people to go visit these sacred sound sites? I would be interested in...
Wouldn't that be cool to go to each of these locations, or some locations, and be in these rooms and have you or Sherry create sounds? Wow. I'm altered already thinking about it.
I want to do that, and I'm excited about it, too, just like Richard. So we got two on board already, and there are people on the chat loving all this ancient stuff that you're talking about. Is that included in your new book, The Sounds of Civilization? You know, before this one came out, you've got a new one ready.
I go somewhat into the shapes of the buildings, but it's that and beyond. But I would love to do. I mean, really, all we'd need is a big enough group to make it possible, and we could do that. Wouldn't that be exciting?
I would love to go to the pyramids in Chichen Itza and Uxmal because I have past lives there of singing in those chambers. So is that a part of any of the literature that you've written?
Singing in the chambers? No, I don't think I have anything about singing in the chambers. I do know that other people have gone there and found resonant pitches. Like some people say in the king's chambers usually resonate to like the solfeggio sound of an A. And, you know, there's different... healings associated with the different pitches. They also did something vibratory with the actual geographic location, like they were tracking the ley lines, which would be magnetic energy lines throughout the globe, and they positioned their pyramids at the intersection points of these ley lines. That was also done in the Middle Ages when they built all those great cathedrals. They're in direct alignment and they form different patterns with the pyramids, for example. And you can go into South America and all over the globe and you can plot where all these sacred sites are, and they will create like a matrix, like a lattice. The ancient people have said that this vibratory scaffolding for the earth, and you can probably predict, you know, where you could do an archaeological expedition and find more sacred sites by looking at these lattices and just doing an archaeological a dig wherever the holes are. I know that in the with the Druids, somebody did that. They just aligned the temples, did sacred geometry, and they aligned it like for Europe, but they also aligned it on the earth. And so they're also doing it in conjunction with the pyramids, for example. And they were able to predict where they should dig, and they did indeed find sacred sites.
I know they've done that with the Templar sacred sites in northern England, and they even create, the churches themselves create shapes. You know, people are writing in the chat room, yes, I want to go. They're writing to everyone, and they're writing to me privately. So I think we have a group already, Jill. So,
oh, that would be great.
I think we need to get this together. People are also wanting to know how they can buy this book, your other books. Are they on Amazon or Barnes & Noble? Can they get them from your site?
I would go to Jill's Wings of Light's probably the best place. The book on the ancient civilizations isn't out yet. It's done, but I'm editing it, and I have to do the cover. I have a blog, and if people were to go to www.jillshealingmusic and download my three free MP3s, sound healing MP3s, when you do that, you get like a little newsletter. And so when I have a new product out, I list it on that newsletter. So that would be probably the best way of knowing when the Sound and Civilization book comes out.
So Wendy, would you have time to take us on this tour?
Well, I don't know. I'm not that much planned up. I would love to do that.
Well, do you have another
book? I'm pretty free.
Works, and can you tell us about the new one you just finished, The Sounds of Civilization?
Well, what I did was I looked at the language and the music, as I said, starting back, well, starting with channeled writings, and then I went into the earliest stuff we have in history, and I just looked for music and sound, and more the looking at evolution of civilizations, not so much from the standard way or the physical way, but like, let's say, a lesson of a civilization. For example, I believe the Egyptians, they craved knowledge. Their priesthood, they wanted to know more and more how they could use sound, languages, fragrances, different items, their hermetic magic for power. And they were needing to develop emotion because they had developed the mental, but as a society, I don't think they were terribly compassionate. I would say at that point in time it was really good to be a victor and get slaves and be rich without any thought of your captives. But their music was leading them to some balance and learning about emotions. The Greeks go in and they're learning about beauty, and I think each one gets more physical. And perhaps, you know, getting so sensuous in their art was fabulous. Maybe was their undoing. The Romans were learning about power, and they were into strength, but they had those, you know, horrible games, and they were so brutal that they probably scared a lot of their army and so forth. And you can go through these time periods and think of evolution in terms of motions or thoughts or spiritual development. And you can see that the frequencies of the music that they listened to set the vibratory stage for them to learn those lessons.
So the sounds of civilizations, would they lead us to these sacred sites? To where
yes.
We want to go visit? Okay, that's what I was trying
yes.
to say. When do you expect the new book out?
It would be definitely be maybe 3-4 months, because I still have to edit and I haven't started the cover. The other thing I did in the book was I looked at patterns between civilizations, and I looked at different sacred geometry patterns, and I looked at perhaps some of the flaws in each civilization's music system and some ways of combining them for healing purposes. And then I went into I had like an application section, like language, like how you could make up your own sacred words and for your own unique healing, for things that you desired within yourself. So the Sacred Sounds book, I did kind of the history part, and that's half of it, and then the other part is, okay, now that you know that there's patterns underneath consciousness and they equate to thinking and feeling, you know, how do you use them?
Jill, with all the books that you do, do you ever have time to do private things for people? Like, if they need a sound, you can make music for them, or do you do workshops, appearances? How can people get in touch with you?
My email is Jill I. Matson, M-A-T-T-S-O-N, at Yahoo. And yes, I do speak. I'm doing lectures for a whole week in July. You know, 40 hours almost, the lectures, you know, all week. At a Life Spectrums conference at Bloomsburg University in the middle of July. And I love doing stuff like that.
So somebody
I'm doing...
Is there a schedule on your site?
Excuse me?
Is there a schedule on your site?
No, I don't have a schedule on my site. I guess they would go to... email me and I could send out the syllabus.
Okay, there's there's bio that I'm looking at. I'm trying to find, there's your picture. Okay. Every one of these has music and it keeps popping on, and I don't mean to be interrupting you. From the depth and breadth of what you are doing, it's just incredible to me that you chose our work to write your book about. I'm just very honored that you would do that.
Well, you should be honored for your work. Your work will change the way our society lives, and we need to get it out.
I'm trying to...
It's a very powerful tool.
Say, buy CDs here. Okay, I'm looking at that. I'm trying to find the cart where they could also buy the book. Boy, just running through your site, there's music all over. I love it. Little snippets here and there. Okay, it's just under store, jillswingsofflight.com, store HTML. People are asking that in the chat, so I will post it on the chat.
It's really stunning, the body of work that you've done, Jill. I mean, it's really, it's so...
Massive,
and, you know, I mean, not only do you do the research, but also you're doing the music, and on top of that, you do these amazing covers. I'm watching Sherry scroll through the covers of your CDs or your books, and I mean, have you always had art as part of your life?
Yes. And again, I don't think I even need to credit myself. I feel like I'm a channel. When I play music and, you know, when I do art, you know, I can feel something sometimes moving in the back of me. When I paint, I paint. Somehow it must be a way my higher self or spirits or guides talk to me, because I will paint events before they happen, or I'll paint spirit guides. And to me, it's just one simple little skill. You just kind of like plug in, and I'm very grateful that stuff comes out.
I think it's really interesting that your artwork has a quality to it that reminds me of original. I have a friend who used to be an animator for the real, what I call real animation in the world of Disney, and your artwork has a very similar kind of warmth. And don't worry, Jill, she'll keep talking in our ear, but the show won't completely end. For everybody that's listening to us, you'll be able to find the full archive of the show online after the show is over. That your artwork has a similar glow and feel to it of some of the original cells. They're called cells, the original individual frames that an artist would do. I mean, it has a real life and vitality all unto itself, the way you express yourself visually.
And there's some very neat things being said about you in the chat room. I'll read you one of them that's public to everyone. Jill, is as beautiful inside and outside. The privilege to be in her presence, even in this way, on the radio.
Wow.
Jill, are you going to be at our conference this year?
I am.
Last year, I think, or maybe it was the year before, Jill brought her artwork to the conference and gave people their choice of any of, like, 30 or 40 pieces of art. A lot of them are hanging up in our office. So Jill is a very generous person as well as a very knowledgeable person about sound and frequency and everything that's expressed through that. I just absolutely thank you for being on the show. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, it's really fabulous. I look forward to more conversations.
And
really excellent.
Right. The trip. We're going to go on the
trip. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I can't wait to be somewhere in Mexico, because I have a draw toward Mexico myself, to be in one of the temples and have that conversation and feel the, sounds.
I'm ready.
That would be good.
That would be good.
We'll set our intent and we'll just go.
That's
we
right.
Can't make it too many months off. She'll be in the middle of another book. That was her.
Of course. Everything's magical. It always works that way. When something like that happens, you discover stuff.
That's really excellent. Any closing thoughts, Sherry?
Well, I should let people know that Jill is a BERA, a Bioacoustic Research Associate. She's taken our classes. So she has some of the inside scoop on not only the classes and how all the formulas work, but in lots of interviews with lots of my family members, she has the inside scoop on how all of this happens. So please, any of her books would be wonderful. But I'd appreciate it if you'd buy The Secret Sounds and Ultimate Healing. Don't you have a day that you're going to put this on Amazon and everybody buys it on one day and makes it like a best?
I would love to do that, but I'm really a company of one, and that takes a tremendous amount of organization that I haven't been able to budget my time to do yet. I would love to do that, though.
Well, I think we'll have to get you together with some other people that can do a venture where they announce, go buy Jill's book today on various shows so that they all know to get you as elevated in the rankings as possible. We'll just have to get you talking to other people who have, want to participate in that. Because the information is hugely powerful.
And I would love to be like on Coast to Coast AM or some of the other bigger venues, because I believe this information on sound, it's just critical for tomorrow.
I think if you do it based on this is ancient stuff being brought through to modern times, that seems to be what everybody in the chat room loves. I think you could get on any show you wanted, Jill.
Well, I'd like to. I have been applying, but I don't know whether we need outside people to like write to Coast to Coast and request me or other venues like that or not. I don't know.
Well, we'll work it out with some of our staff, and I know that Carol was helping you with some of this, so if any of the practitioners or anybody online with us has some ideas, please get in touch with Jill or Richard or me. And my address I'll put up in the chat room, just Sherry on Air. And we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you very much, Jill. And thank you, everybody. This has been a great show. And the full archive, as I say, for people still listening, the full archive will be available after the show ends. Thank you again, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.